Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. We're thankful for the freedom granted by the United States government that allows us to teach the Word of God on the airways, especially through the facility of this good radio station each Sunday morning. There are hundreds of different denominational churches in the United States. Virtually all the leaders of these churches claim to believe in God. They preach and offer their own particular plan of salvation based on their church creeds, manuals, and disciplines. These denominational churches are identified by many different names. Just browse the names of churches in the Yellow Pages of cities and metropolitan areas in the United States. Observe the unusual names of religious bodies listed under the category of churches. For example, in one town, USA, of less than 40,000 population, the following churches are listed: Faith Bible Church, Good News Church, Kingdom Seekers Church, Oasis of Love Fellowship Church, Anchor Holes Church, Hope Church, Temple of Compassion and Deliverance Church, United House of Prayer Church. Then, there are the Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian, and a variety of Pentecostal, Holiness churches, and the Catholic Church. Add to this list the cults: Jehovah's Witnesses, Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and the Seventh-day Adventists. Dr. Charles Braden, emeritus professor of Northwestern University, wrote, "By the term cult, we mean nothing derogatory to any group so classified. A cult, as I define it, is any religious group which differs significantly in one or more respects as to belief or practice from those religious groups which are regarded as the normative expressions of religion in our culture. A cult might also be identified as a group of people gathered about a specific person or person's misinterpretation of the Bible. For example, the handling of the Scriptures by Charles T. Russell and J.F. Rutherford of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon of the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. The world and society is greatly confused about religion and how to go to heaven. Good people are perplexed and disoriented by the different churches and their diverse teachings. And why wouldn't people be confused? Each of these different churches teach a different doctrine and a different way to go to heaven. Therefore, we ask this logical question: can I know for sure which church Jesus built or established? Any person who has an accurate translation of the Scriptures in the language he or she speaks and reasonably understands it can know for sure which church Christ established. arriving with the correct answer necessitates the willingness to accept God's revelation about the church revealed in the Scriptures. Commentator Wayne Jackson writes, "The Bible that contains the Scriptures claims to be inspired. More than 3,800 times in the Old Testament, the claim is made that the Scriptures are the Word or words of God. For instance, David declared, 'The Spirit of Jehovah spake by me, and His word was upon my tongue.'" 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. "God instructed the prophet Jeremiah, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9. The Scriptures are exalted as the Word of God some 175 times in the Psalm chapter 119 alone. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, adequately equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. To the churches of Christ in Galatia, Paul writes, "I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. You can know for sure which church Christ established. We can only accept and believe without reservations what the Scriptures teach about Jesus and His church. The Scriptures tell us everything we need to know about the establishment of the church Jesus built and how to worship. Open your Bibles and let's read a passage from the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 16, we will begin reading in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Verses 13 through 19. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" To this question, Peter spoke up, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The rock was the truth that Jesus was the Son of God. The rock upon which the church was to be built was the truth acknowledged by Peter, namely, that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and not the Apostle Peter himself. There are a number of factors that we should note in this text. One, Jesus promised to build his church, verse 18. Two, will build is future tense, sometime after his promise in these verses. Three, Jesus promised that he would give Peter the keys to the kingdom. Note, keys, plural, verse 19. Peter preached the first sermon. He used the keys Jesus gave him to the Jews on Pentecost, AD 30, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. Peter preached the first sermon to the Gentiles. He used the keys to the kingdom again in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 47. Christ's death on the cross, that is, going to the Hadean realm, would not keep Jesus from building his church, verse 19. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, verse 19. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Jesus revealed to the disciples that the plan to build his church originated in heaven and that God was in control. All things would happen as he said. Observe the meaning of the word church and ways it is used in the New Testament. The word church comes from a Greek word that means a calling out of. Those who anywhere, in a city, village, constitute such a company and are unified into one body. In our text, the word church refers to the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth. All those that are called out of sin, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. The church universal includes all believers. The word church in Scripture sometimes, then, refers to all the saved, all the called out from sin. Paul said, I persecuted the church. I persecuted all believers, all the saved, everywhere and anywhere he found them. He said, I did it beyond measure and tried to destroy it, the church, the universal church. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. The word church at other times refers to the called out in the local sense, the church in a town or a city. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. The church in the city of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. The word church can apply to the assembly, assembled together as in a congregation. When you come together as a church, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18. The context will indicate whether church refers to, one, all the called out from sin in the whole world, the universal church, or two, the church in a community, town, or a city, the local church, three, the church gathered together in the assembly. Jesus is the foundation and builder of his church. He said, I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. You can know for sure which church Christ established by examining these scriptures. Jesus is the head of his church. He is the head of the body, the church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Christ's church has only one head. The church is the body of Christ. He, God, put all things under his, Christ's, feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Christ is the head of the church, and the church is his body. There is one body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, there are many members, but one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. Let's tie these Bible facts together. The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. But there's only one body, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Therefore, there is only one church. The church is the body of Christ. Christ has only one body. Since the church is the body of Christ, and Christ has only one body, the irresistible conclusion follows. Christ has only one church. Christ is the Savior of the body, the church. The husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. The body is the church. Christ is the Savior of the body. Therefore, Christ is the Savior of the church. The church wears the name of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Paul said, I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Paul expresses his affection for the Corinthian saints under the imagery of jealousy. Using the metaphor of marriage, Paul represents himself as a friend of the bridegroom, Christ, to whom he represented the Corinthian saints through the conversion process. On the cross, Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, and the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. John chapter 19, verses 30 through 34. Paul admonished the Ephesian elders, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Acts chapter 20, verse 28. All humanity can be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Therefore, only Jesus could pay the price. Jesus did pay the debt of sin in full, one time, for all people, for all time. This man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. The church that Jesus established came into existence on the first Pentecost day after the resurrection of Jesus in AD 30. Earlier in this discussion, we proved from the scriptures that Jesus would establish his church in the days of Peter and the apostles, Matthew chapter 16. How do we know that fact? Answer: Jesus promised Peter the keys that he would be able to use while he lived. The church or kingdom would be established during the lifetime of the apostles. Jesus said to the 12, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. The kingdom and church are oftentimes used interchangeably, and this is one of these instances. The apostles would not die until they witnessed the church, the kingdom, come with power. Moments before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he promised his apostles the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear him. "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49. The promise of the power of the Holy Spirit would come to them while they were in the city of Jerusalem. Luke reveals an important detail. The church would begin in the city of Jerusalem. Turn with us to Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 4. "Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Verse 5, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Verse 9, "When he had spoken these things, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Verse 12, "They returned to Jerusalem." Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 12. Continue now reading with us in the second chapter of Acts. Verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Verse 3, "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." Verse 4, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit." But Peter standing up with the 11 in verse 14, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words." Verse 15, "For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." That would be 9 o'clock in the morning as we calculate time. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "Can I know for sure which church Jesus established?" Jesus established his church with his blood on the first Pentecost after his resurrection, A.D. 30, in the city of Jerusalem on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, at 9 a.m. No other church of any kind came into existence until 600 years later. No other church on the face of the earth, in any place on the earth, meets the description of the church that Jesus built as revealed in the Scriptures. God's intent and purpose of the wonderful and precious redemption we have in Jesus Christ is now available in the church for which Jesus died. Churches of Christ greet you. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.